Gentlemen and Hannah, welcome to the annual One League to Rule Them All pod. I am, of course, your co-host, Sean, owner of the Big Al and the Dingers, here as always with the commissioner, Commissioner Ben. How you doing?
Doing good, Sean. I miss your lovely face. I've come accustomed to these Thursday night rendezvous, and I'm saddened that we have to do this from afar, but we'll give it our... give it the old college try.
Yeah, it should be noted that we are doing this because of my poor throat. I am under the weather here, so we're patching Ben through over the radio waves here to try to cobble together a pod. But we do it for the culture, I think.
We've grown our listenership by at least like 3, I think.
Oh.
So there are people out there that need to know what's going on a weekly basis in the One League to Rule Them All.
Yeah, and I think while Cozart is on the run from whatever new hurricane is coming his way, I believe he doesn't even take his ham radio, his battery-powered radio, to keep up with the weather. He just makes sure he has internet access to keep up with this pod. I think that's true, and I can't be told differently. So, keeping in the spirit of a very exciting episode... and, you know, giving pleasure to all our viewers out there. We do have some breaking news out there in the One League to Rule Them All universe. And the big news, Ben, go ahead and break it for us.
Yeah, late Friday night, last week, we had our first significant trade that actually happened in the league. I don't think we've really had a legitimate trade in... years, maybe ever, in this league. So I think last week on the podcast we mentioned that Sean and I had been at the negotiation table for a couple days. Those talks continued into Friday, in which we then had a new player get in the mix. Mr. Corbin and his gaping starfish came in and had some interest in one Le'Veon Bell. So we did some back and forth, a little this, a little that, and we actually got a deal done. So I traded Le'Veon Bell along with Carlos Hyde to Corbin and the Gaping Starfish. In return, I got Joe Mixon from Cincinnati coming off of an injury, and I also got Brandon Cooks. So I don't know if they were the exact reason, but I did get a win last week. So those two, well, at least Mixon helped me. Brandon
yeah.
Cooks... took one in the head and didn't play at all. So, big deal, went through. I got rid of Le'Veon Bell. Corbin thinks that he got a good deal. Obviously, he didn't. that was just a straight trade rape on my end. And I'm feeling pretty good about the direction of the tongue puncher fart box team here after getting that trade done.
Yeah, you're definitely trending in the right direction with a win over John and his homosexuals last week. And let's just use that to jump right into last week's games, last week's matchups. Obviously, yeah, you went up on John behind Davante Adams and the aforementioned Mixon. Anything else to touch on in this game besides Gurley just having another great one for John?
Yeah, I was obviously pretty nervous there. The way Gurley just, I think he had 3 touchdowns last week, so he was an absolute beast. But Patrick Mahomes finally had, I guess you would call it a down-to-earth, you know, coming back to the pack game a little bit there.
Right, a reversion to the mean.
Yeah, so anyway, felt pretty good about beating John. Good win for me. John, he just got his fart box.
Yeah, to turn a phrase. Okay, so there we have it for that. And then we looked at this matchup last week. Corbin's Gaping Starfish and Mike's Howie Felter Snatchers. This game actually had the exact same score as yours and John's, 120 to 104. What did you see here?
Yeah, really strong effort by Corbin there. You know, he did start Carlos Hyde. Got him 9 points, probably disappointed there a little bit, but I think we talked about Odell Beckham Jr. finally busting
right.
out last week, and he had a big game. He had a receiving touchdown and a passing touchdown, I believe.
It was pretty.
Yeah, scored 31 points. Zach Ertz got him some garbage time points there, and Mike's team, other than James Conner, really underperformed there. You know, Kenny Stills, Jordan Reed, Deion Lewis, and the Patriots defense, and Mason Crosby, the kicker.
Oh, that was rough.
Single digits. Mason Crosby needed that walk-off field goal just to break even with a zero there for Mike. So bad, bad loss for Mike there, but I guess a good win for Corbin.
Now, is the way our kickers are scored, would Crosby, if Crosby, let's just say, it's not out of the question for him to have made all of those, would that have won him the game?
It would have been close.
Because a lot of those are worth...
Because, you know, you get, I think, 3 points for a field goal if it's 30 yards or less. Mallory's cooking in the microwave here. Sorry for the background noise. four points if it's between, I think, 30 and 40, and then is it 5 points if it's 40 plus or something like that. So it would have been close. Mike would have definitely had a chance there.
Yeah, that's rough.
He made those field goals and the extra point that he missed as well. So
that is rough. But yeah, so Mike, yeah, on the Vindo watch, kind of Mason Crosby. Making my prediction come true from last weekend. Now we had a Team Boner Juice getting its inaugural win against Tom's then-named JC Fronthole Stingers. This was a blowout.
Name change did not work in Tom's favor last week with the JC Fronthole Stingers there. Congratulations to Hannah. Getting a historic win in our league, first female to record a victory.
Yeah, breaking through the glass ceiling.
Too bad that Tom had to be on the losing end of that. His Patriots did do very, very well for him last week. You know, so it wasn't the Patriots' fault this time. It was the rest of his team that kind of let him down. But again, you know, Hannah's team had a really good overall win. Eric Ebron has just been a beast. I don't think anyone thought that he would be worth a damn this year, but there he is, 31 points last week. I think he had 2 touchdowns, so big win for Hannah, historic win. We are an all-inclusive league.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Okay. We're looking at... Okay, I made quick work. Brandon's Honey Badger Don't Cares. I don't think this one was ever in question. He had a decent showing, but just didn't have the receivers to do it. Saquon Barkley, he's nice, but I don't think much else needs to be said. I just kind of had a work-a-day week.
Yeah, pretty easy win for you. You know, I was kind of interested to see if Brandon, after getting a victory over me the week before, was going to be able to go back-to-back, but you crushed those dreams pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And there Brandon finds himself, you know, right back at the bottom of the league where he belongs.
And then, couldn't have said it better myself. And then we had a big matchup between Clayton's Dick Sackriders and Ethan's Suicide Wanks. These were 2 3-1 teams. And Ethan pulling out the win by 20. What did you see here?
Yeah, this was definitely our highlighted matchup of the week there. And it turned out to be a pretty good game. Two strong teams. Obviously, Clayton's got to be a little disappointed. Matt Ryan only got him 14 points. Michael Thomas, who had just been setting the world on fire, only got him 11. You know, he also didn't get much production from his QB1 or his running back one spot there in Tevin Coleman from Atlanta. So really, Clayton's got to be kicking himself there. You know, if a couple of those guys would perform. And he had a negative from his kicker, too. So
yeah.
Clayton really missed a golden opportunity to stick it to the former champ, Ethan. But he let it slip through his fingers.
Let's just do a quick recap of the standings then, where we're at after 5 weeks. Man, time is flying.
Yeah, so pitcher's division sitting lone at the top. Big Al and the Dingers.
Ooh.
Obviously, Sean is just cruising so far this year. One game behind Sean, like we just talked about, was Ethan and the Suicide Wank after that victory over Clayton last week. Gets himself to 4-1. Behind him, Tommy and I are actually tied at 2-3. two teams trending in opposite directions, I'd like to say. I think I'm on the upswing, while Tommy is certainly starting to slip a little bit. And then on the board with one win is Team Boner Juice there. Hannah got her first victory. She's on the board, but still at the bottom of the pitcher's division. Taking a look over at the catcher's division, a little more clustered here. You have two teams that are 3-2, the Gaping Starfish and the Dick Sack Riders, both at 3-2 there at the top. And then you got two teams below them at 2-3, with John's Mahomosexuals and Michael's Howie Felcher Snatches. So those two teams, all four of those teams are definitely still in the mix for the catcher's division. And then, of course, we have our Honey Badger that just doesn't care down there at 4-1. So
1-4.
Catcher's division, still a lot to be decided here going forward.
Yeah, and as we get closer to the playoffs, these points four, they will determine if we have some tied records of playoff berths. The points four determine the tiebreaker, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so it's never too early to look at these. And I think it should be said that Corbin, despite only being 3-2, his Gaping Starfish have the third most points for of any team in the league. And he's, you know, sitting atop Clayton there with over 50 more points over Clayton, 10 points a week. Only Ethan and myself have over 700 points for there in the pitcher's division. So I think we're seeing some things get sorted. You're not seeing too many people with a bunch of points, but getting robbed of wins anymore. It's kind of sorting itself out.
Yeah, and if you take a look at who's number four on that list, it'd be yours truly there.
Yeah, I didn't mean to rob you. Yeah.
At least according to the ESPN, if the playoffs started today, it would be a matchup of Big Alan the Dingers versus Dick Sack Rider for the 1-4, and then the 2-3 matchup would be Corbin's Gaping Starfish versus Ethan's Suicide Wang. So if the playoffs started today, those would be your four teams battling for the apparatus.
Yeah, with Clayton being the most vulnerable at this moment.
Very vulnerable. He's always vulnerable.
Yeah. What's more vulnerable than a sack riding dick? Yeah. Okay, so looking ahead to this coming week that starts tonight. Of course, this is Thursday night, and the game is getting ready to start here in less than half an hour. Do you have a matchup or two that you want to highlight, or maybe highlight for different reasons, Ben?
Yeah, I think this is a big week, big swing week here. We got a lot of great matchups. Most notably, I suppose you would say, is the Vendo matchup.
Oh yes,
Boner Juice versus Honey Badger. Two teams at 1-4, battling it out for the bottom of the league. So just we got that one going. Another matchup that I really like. We got two former champions that are kind of at the bottom of the league right now. I'm sorry, not two former champions, but two former champions at the bottom of the league right now. In Howie Felcher Snatch and the new team for Tommy, the Cincinnati Dick Twisters. Both those teams are 2-3. Both those teams already have their name on the trophy. So the winner of this game could be trending in the right direction. The loser probably won't have a chance of repeating and getting their name, you know, on the trophy for the second time.
Do you have a prediction between these two teams? I do. I think you know, Tom was my early Vendo Watch favorite, but I think he's gonna give the Felcher Snatchers the old dick twist this week. You got New England is playing Kansas City, which they're not a great defense. They bend a lot. You know, sometimes they break and they let people score, and sometimes they don't. But either way, if they're stalling out and if New England is stalling out and kicking field goals, or if it's, you know, James White and Rob Gronkowski all game, I think New England, even in a loss, has a chance to put up a ton of points.
I agree. I think, and the game is at New England, so that's got to be an advantage. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. So I think Tommy's definitely going to benefit from that. And right now, you're looking at kind of the bottom of Mike's lineup. He's still got Mason Crosby in there. I don't know if he's planning on rolling him out again or if he's going to try to find a replacement. He currently does not have a defense on the roster.
He's got the Packers on the bench against San Francisco, so that's probably a good play.
Okay, okay. So, yeah, I think I would have to agree with you. I think Tommy is going to bury the Howie Felter snatches and really, really just give that dick a good old twist and put him in his place.
Yeah, one can only hope, really. I'm enthralled just thinking about it. So here we've got, another matchup, Ethan's Suicide Wanks against Corbin's Gaping Starfish, two playoff teams, the 2 and 3 seed, if it were right now. And then, myself and John's, underperforming, but, promising. I still think this is a promising roster, John's Mahomosexuals, but if we're going with the, kind of the rosturbation metaphor, I think John's Mahomosexuals, this is a team with blue balls. This is a roster that is just waiting to come onto the scene, if you will.
Oh, they're definitely waiting to come. There's no doubt about that. And I think this is the week that Big Al and the Dingers goes down for the first time and gets a one spot in the loss column. You know, Big Al with Matthew Stafford being on bye this week, you're putting Derek Carr in there.
Derek Carr.
Cannot be feeling good about that at all. I really think that, again, talking about the Kansas City-New England Patriots matchup, Patrick Mahomes is going to be throwing the ball all over. Todd Gurley is just going to run wild on Denver. There's a lot of good things that John has going. John's team is better than his 2 and 3 record.
Yes.
And I think he gets to 500, and I think he gives you the first loss of the year.
This is probably the first time in a few weeks that I'm losing some sleep over this matchup, and I've done quite a bit of tinkering already. And early week tinkering is probably a bad sign. I still have probably a decent chance to take this matchup, but like I said, I'm shaking in my boots over here. Anything else in week 6 that we want to touch on before we move on to our wrap up segments here?
Yeah, I guess real quickly, you know, me and Clayton's matchup again, two teams. This is a big swing game. If I get the victory, I go to 3-3, and I drop Clayton to 3-3. If he wins, he's going to 4-2, and he's going to be feeling pretty good about his chances of getting to the playoffs. Putting Carson Wentz in the lineup, I'm keeping a close eye on the weather right now in New York. I think he's going to have a good game. You know, obviously, I'm going up against Aaron Rodgers in San Francisco, so hopefully my quarterback can perform. But I'm excited to, see what Joe Mixon can do here. You know, a second week in my lineup. Last week he did pretty good for me, so I'm feeling pretty good about my lead back here. I think he's going to have a big week for me.
Now, is Cooks cleared to play, do you know?
At this point, he is still listed as questionable. I have him on my bench.
Okay.
I'm feeling pretty good about my wide receivers and Devontae Adams, Mike Evans, and then I have Tyler Boyd from Cincinnati there in my flex spot. So if something changes, I can put Cooks back into the flex spot. But I've been hearing some rumors that sorry, Mallory's making all kinds of noise here in the kitchen where she belongs, of course. And I've been hearing all kinds of rumors that we might see some snow in Denver this week for the Denver versus the Rams game. So if we see some snow, I might want to just go ahead and leave him on the bench regardless of, you know, whether he can spell his name correctly or not.
Sure. All right. Well, that about wraps up the week 6 preview. So let's go ahead and look at the waiver wire, our list of transactions here the past week. Best and worst, I'm going to go ahead and go first. I'm going to say the best is one of the more recent ones is Corbin. After inexplicably trading for the injured Jay Ajayi, goes ahead and intelligently drops him and picks up Kiki QT. from the Houston, I almost said Oilers there, from the Houston Texans. This is their third wide receiver who's been getting a lot of play with Fuller being on again, off again. He's getting that whatever that stupid like jet sweep play is, where they kind of like shovel pass it to the man in motion behind the line.
Are you sure that's not a Drake song? Kiki Cutie?
I don't know, man. I'm just reading the thing. Maybe it's Cootie. I don't know. You know exactly who I'm talking about. Just stop making me feel stupid.
Yeah. We'll see what happens there. That was just kind of a bullcrap trade there that me and Corbin did after the real trade. I think he was just he liked it so much the first time I trade raped him. He bent over and wanted it again. So the transaction I got my eye on here, which is just a garbage move, comes from Mr. Ethan. He must be just kicking back the moonshine out in West Virginia. But flashback to 2014 here, and he's picking up Jamal Charles, recently added to the Jaguars from his couch. So I don't know what he thinks Jamal Charles is going to do. But there, that was just a waste of a roster spot for sure for Mr. Ethan.
Can I tell you right now? I'm gonna peel back the curtain for everyone here listening. Ethan was very confident about this in a text that he sent to me when we were doing some trade negotiations. He felt good about this move, and this cost me. I was trying to give him T.J. Yeldon and Tyreek Hill for Christian McCaffrey, and he felt like he didn't need Yeldon because he picked up Jamal Charles. So I'm not saying it wasn't a bad deal, or it he should have made the deal or anything, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's just a waste of a roster spot.
Jamal freaking Charles cost me Christian McCaffrey, possibly. Can't get over it. Yeah, I don't really see anything else of note. I mean, obviously with buys and everything, there's a lot of movement going on. I think it's interesting that John is going to be playing the Colts defense against me. So
yeah, we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, well, they're playing the Jets, and so I don't know.
Yeah.
But okay, so on to the VendoWatch 2018, Benjamin. We have had lots of people who were previously looking not so good, who are trending in a healthy direction, and a few people who started off hot who are cooling off. And then we got our 2-1-4 most unengaged people playing this week. Who do you like for the Vendo this week?
Yeah, I know who you're going to put on there, so I'll go ahead and take somebody different. But my Vendo watch for this week does come from the Vendo matchup of this week. I think we've kind of talked about it here, that with Hannah kind of behind the wheel of Team Boner Juice, they're definitely trending in the right direction. So I think it's going to be the Honey Badger here. Although he does have some talent on his roster, it doesn't matter how talented your roster is if you just completely ignore it. He's going to end up with the Bendo at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's possible. That's a fine Vendo pick. Like you said, I am picking someone from the catcher's division. Shocker. Both of us are this week. Howie Feltersnatch. Mike, I don't think this is his number one league. I believe he's got money on the line in at least one other league. I know he's paying attention a lot to that one. I know he pays attention to this one, too. But I think that he doesn't quite have just the firepower on this team to get it done. And when he gets bad beats like Crosby doing what he did last week, it's just that team can't have too many things go wrong for it and still come out on top. So I think he loses this week, gets to 2-4, and then he'll be tied for the second worst record in the league after that. And I don't know, we're running out of time.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Mike is a fine choice as well, and for the reason that you said, his heart is not in this league. You know, he has told us many times that he's got other leagues that are more important to him. Mm-hmm. Well, we are second fiddle, but we'll see how he feels. You know, come the end of the year when he has to display the veto on his mantle at home, and you know, poor Wyatt is saying, "Daddy, Daddy, what's that?" And he's got to explain to his son, you know, why there's two little black kids eating watermelon on a bench, you know, inside their house. So we'll see how much Mike pays attention to the league here.
I think Vendo avoidance, even with no money on the line, Vendo avoidance is a pretty strong motivator. And I will volunteer right now, Mike, if you feel uncomfortable having that conversation with young Wyatt, I'm going to volunteer Ben and myself to Uncle Ben and Uncle Sean to come over and have that talk with him. That's a very important talk. You want to get it right. And we've had some practice in that talk.
I agree.
Okay. So I think that about wraps it up. So, guys, good luck this week. Ben, thanks for calling in. Next time we'll try to do it in person, but when I don't have strep or hep C or whatever this is.
I missed your musk.
So, guys, get active on the chat so I don't have to just be fielding these weird come-ons from Ben. So.
All right. Thanks, Sean. We'll see you next time.